Dixieland. Glory, glory. Hallelujah.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Wednesday morning. If you want to be in touch with the show, time permitting, 251-343-0106. That's how you get in touch with the show. Joining us now, State Representative Matt Simpson of Daphne is on the line. Representative, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Jeff. How are you doing?
Doing well, doing well. Thanks for hopping on real quick. Well, just first, then we'll get into what I had asked you to come on about. But how's the campaign going?
Campaign's going well. We're having our campaign kickoff Tuesday night coming up. So the public is invited. We're going to be out at Moe's Barbecue in Daphne from 5:30 to 7, I believe, is the time of that. So tell your listeners to come on out to Moe's Barbecue Tuesday night, November 4th.
I think you just did. So there you have it. You texted me about it before I finally got around to finding 2 hours to watch this. But the prison documentary, we had your colleague Chris England on yesterday to talk about it. I'm not totally shocked. I mean, I think we knew this. I think maybe it was done in a way for the public to see it. But tell me, what were your impressions?
You know, it's sad to see those situations. I think that anytime that the state has the responsibility of, you know, when you're taking possession of someone's body and you're putting them in your custody, you have a responsibility to not put them in dangerous situations, to not put them in some of the living environments that they were living in. And that's not fair for anyone. And that's important. You know, no matter what crime you committed, there is a level of humanity that is required when you're in prison. Now, I was kind of underwhelmed with the documentary a little bit. It wasn't, it tried to be too many things. You know, one of the things that I am happy that they focused on and the issue, and this is what I've been yelling from the rooftops, the issue from the DOJ lawsuit is about the treatment of the prisoners within the four walls of the prison system. That's all they're focused on at this point. So when other people or other groups start coming in and saying, well, this means you need to lighten your sentences, or this means you need to change how you do sentencing and who all gets in prison, or you need to let more people out. No, that has nothing to do at all with what the DOJ lawsuit was. It's really just about how you treat the inmates inside those prison cells.
Yeah, this is their problem, and I think they got a messaging problem. The conversation always gets hijacked. And it comes down to, you know, they like to show the Confederate battle flag, right? And then they talk about releasing prisoners, and that's just a non-starter. If you're serious about a solution, then going in that lane is off limits. You're never going to get support from the people in the state. But I think if you really want to solve this, and I've never been able to quite figure this out, Representative, but like, the lane you got to choose is like you want safe streets. You put public safety high on the list. You've got to have a place for inmates. You've got to figure this out. And if you could do that, and you don't get going to these third rail, like kind of liberal left wing hobby horses, then maybe things start to move. But the conversation always gets hijacked by those guys and it becomes a non-starter.
You're exactly right. You know, we come from different viewpoints, Representative England and I, and some of those groups. We can agree, and we can all agree that the way that the situation with how they were treated, with guards beating up some of the inmates, or, you know, some of the facilities not being adequate, we can all agree on that. But when they start saying, hey, you know, less people need to be in prison, well, I'm absolutely the exact opposite of that. I think more people need to be there. I think it needs to be. We have a problem with public safety in our state right now. We need to make sure that we have the beds and we have the facilities that if someone commits an offense, that they are going to be held accountable for their offense. And that's just, you know, we've got to come from that perspective, not from this, oh, everybody should be rehabilitated and it's all, you know, the hug a thug philosophy of stuff.
Yeah. And so, you know, that gets us to this though. And I think you guys in the legislature have done about all, I mean, you've been asked to do. But it's just, it's an executive branch problem, And that's where this has to be. I mean, you provided funding, you've given what they've asked for, but like I said, it never really. I don't know. And look, I think this documentary is a little dated. I think they had to protect some of these guys who were FaceTiming these documentary makers until they got some cover or got out or whatever. But to me, the problem is, I don't know. Does it. From your standpoint, are things improving at all?
I mean, I think things will improve. I think, you know, the facility that's in that Elmore County facility that we're building is 75% ready. It should be ready on time. I think that will help, but it's not the silver bullet. And that's, you know, I was in the documentary for a blink and you'll miss it period of time. But, you know, my point has been when we get done, when that facility in Elmore County is done, And let's say we even get to the point of having the facility in Escambia County done, we still have the same number of beds in prison that we had before those facilities were built. It's not like we're adding places that people can go. We're just making the places nicer where people can actually live there. But the problem you're going to face, and if people start talking, well, overcrowding, well, the answer to overcrowding is not letting more people out. The answer to overcrowding is building another one. The problem is that it costs so much money. We agreed to like $1.3 billion was supposed to fund both of those prisons when we funded it. And I want to say it was 21. And so we agreed to build it. Let's do it. Now all of a sudden we come back, and because of the way whatever the process was done or how it was done, instead of getting two prisons for $1.3 billion, now we've gotten one prison for $1.25. And it's taxpayer money. We've got to be more accountable, better stewards of taxpayer money than just building blindly to say, hey, we're going to spend, let's say we spend $1.25 on this one in Elmore. Let's say it doesn't have all the same bells and whistles as the one in Escambia, but let's say it comes up to another billion where we're already $1 billion over budget and we only have the same number of beds where we were. I mean, what are we doing here?
And this is it. So Representative England said yesterday, you know, Bentley tried to do this and the price tag was $900 million for three prisons. And then they kicked the can down the road. Bentley had his problems. And then, you know, the governor tries to go at it alone. And then that cost keeps escalating. And to me, like, you need someone to say, look, guys, you're just going to have to bite the bullet here. Do this. Or instead of paying $3 billion for three prisons, you're going to pay $9 billion for three prisons if you wait 10 years. And it's just like that's got to be that's the hard, inconvenient truth.
No, you're right. I mean, the longer we wait, the prisons and the facilities, the materials, the everything that goes along with building right now, it's not getting cheaper. You know, you look at how far everything's been when everybody flooded the economy with money, when the government just started printing money left and right out of D.C. and all of these states had all this money to spend. Well, that allowed people to charge more money to come up. And so that's kind of what we're facing is this hyperinflation of materials, hyperinflation of trying to find people that can build it and do the job. You know, it's unfortunate that's the situation we're in, kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place. But at the end of the day, it's much better for us to fix this problem than it would be for the potential of the federal government to come in and say, we're not going to focus on what you want to do. We're going to tell you what we have to do. Now, it works when we have a Republican in the White House and hopefully a conservative administration. But what happens next time that there's a Democrat in office and they're, you know, that DOJ is going to come in and they're going to try to, you know, they're going to try to drop the hammer. And if they take over our prison system, you see what they've done in other states. It could be an absolute nightmare for the fiscal responsibility of the state.
Yeah. So it's like better off now than later. But looking at it, like, you know, well, how do you sell this to the public? Public's not like yay prisons. And that's a fair assessment, I believe. But like, I think at a time right now, the public's very, you know, high on this list is public safety. And if you hold virtue in public safety and you want, you know, less crime on the streets, and this is what the way you've got to sell it. But there's just a reluctance to do that. You know, there's so many other priorities that seem to be ahead of this.
There's only so many dollars to go around. You know, nobody's interested in raising taxes. I'm not interested in raising taxes. not something I think we should do. We've just got to figure out the right way to go forward and reach the solution here. I think some of the solution, you know, that Elmore County facility has some of the right answers, and that's why I think it can help some of this. You know, you treat the mental health aspect of it. Hopefully you get some facilities in there where people can get in and get out and be better because they went in, as far as some form of trade, some form of skill, something they can do to be productive members of society by the time they get out. But what we've got to do is make sure that the people that are going to get out have the opportunities to, you know, be functioning, productive members of society. But the people that are going to stay in for a long time, they need to be in a position to where they can't affect those other people. You start talking about the drugs, you start looking at people that are getting out and how they're treated. Some of the things, some of the horror stories you hear, you know, sitting on this prison oversight committee that I'm on, it's unfortunate. You see a lot of these cell phones where inmates are extorting family members and saying, if you don't send us this amount of money, well, then we're going to kill your loved one. And, you know, it's people that may are supposed to be a 5-year sentence, which is really nothing, get stuck in that process. And they're treated that way in behind the prison cells. And so they're, you know, it's unfortunate. I think we've got to get the cell phones out of prison. It has nothing to do with the videos that were sent in that documentary. I think that, yeah, it's great that they were given to journalists and, you know, people can see behind the scenes, but at the end of the day, 99% of the time, those cell phones are used to extort family members to get illegal contraband to come in there. You know, drugs brought in, cell phones are contraband. I don't know how we don't have more cell phones taken out from these inmates. You know, you see what you've got. One of the things, we just had a prison oversight committee meeting last week, and I was able to commend John Hamm, who was the commissioner of the Department of Corrections, by saying they've arrested 111 guards for bringing contraband in, for doing things they shouldn't do by bringing stuff into the prison. You know, these drugs are not really being made in the prison. They're being brought in by people that have access to the inmates. So we've got to do what we can to tighten that up, to make sure that they're not getting access to drugs. I just don't think cell phones are productive behind bars. I think people can use them for nefarious reasons. They blackmail these individuals. They reach out to their families and say, if you don't give us, you know, $300 or X number of dollars by the end of this month, then we're going to beat up your son. And then they'll send the pictures again. And it's a never-ending cycle because these people don't have anything better to do. So yeah, the extortion that comes through, I think it would stop and have a significant decrease if we just took cell phones away from them.
Well, yeah, take the cell phones away, but I, you know, and maybe this is just one, maybe this is the exception, not the rule, but the Roderick Gadsden problem and the sort of heavy you have on the, you know, on the staff there and how he has not just like survived in that system as a prison guard, but he's been promoted. And, you know, I don't know how, you know, much that goes on. But the perception is that there's a lot of that goes on. You have a corrupt system from the bottom up.
And that's what's got to be fixed. And, you know, we've got to, I appreciate every single person that's a corrections officer that's working behind the scenes to put themselves in dangerous situations, to put themselves and their life at risk every time they go into work because they're really outnumbered by what they do. But I think there are, the number of good people significantly outweigh the number of bad people in those spots. But what we've got to do is we've got to get all the bad people out. We've got to get all the people that are corrupt. I don't care how high up it goes. We've got to get all the people that are doing the wrong things and change the culture. You know, we've had some conversations and had some discussions about what do we do? What does that look like? I think that there's some opportunities in the future for us to do some things to help, but, we got a long way to go to do that.
What do they say to you? Like, you're like, okay, you know, Director Hamm or whatever, this is going on. And this has been going on for years and years and years. What do they say to you? Like, you know, I mean, you guys can pass a law, but there's no guarantee they're going to enforce your law or take it seriously. Because I find this just you described it a long time ago on this show as a lack of institutional control. That's what it looks like to me. And I don't know, like, you know, I think I said that documentary seemed a little dated, but that the higher ups don't have a good control on what's going on within those prisons.
I I will tell you this, and I do believe this, and I did call out the previous commissioner, Jeff Dunn. I think he did a terrible job. I think he should have left long before he did. I think Ham is actually doing the best he possibly can with the situation that he has. Ham has been very transparent with us. Ham has been very, hey, this is an issue. This is what we've got. This is what we're going on. You go back to those 111 arrests. I think a lot of times those people never would have been arrested under Dunn, who was in the spot previously. So it's one of those situations of, I think Ham, and I've been tough on the Department of Corrections, and you know that, and we've been having this conversation out there. I did send out a letter to the editor talking about lack of institutional control. But I think Ham is doing the right things. It's just going to take some time. Now, does it mean we start looking into the hiring process and getting out of the, you know, the merit system as they come through? Does it mean that we allow the Department of Corrections to bring in wardens from different positions, from different areas, without having to go through the same process that they currently have to go through as far as hiring and through the personnel board hirings and how they have to go through that? I think there's some leeway there we can try to do to give some accountability. What I want to do is to be able to have somebody that actually has to own it, to say, okay, Department of Corrections Commissioner, you're the one in charge. You're the one, the buck stops with you. So you're responsible for these wardens. If these wardens do stuff at these prisons, that's on your watch because you're the one that hired these people. I think that, you know, I'm all for accountability. I am all for saying, if you don't do the job, then you're the one that has to answer for it. And I think that if we can allow wardens to be brought in and have to answer to the Department of Corrections directors as opposed to just this merit personnel board system, I think there's some opportunities there.
Representative, we got to get out of here a little long, but thanks for hopping on this morning talking about this.
All right, thank you.
All right, that was State Representative Matt Simpson of Daphne there. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5.